Welcome to Bon Jovi Discussions. Today I have a really fun episode. It's going to be different than what I usually do. Usually I have a guest on. Unfortunately, I don't have that for this episode. Just because I wanted to just share my excitement, my experience. I just got home from New York City. I was one of the ones that won the contest to be at the Pizza Pie Jury Forever Listening Party. And before I kind of get into it, I wanted to, I'm not going to talk about the album on this episode. The album doesn't come out for another 2 weeks. And when we listened to the album, we had to put our phones away, rightfully so. And so I think to be respectful, I'm not going to talk about the album in this episode. In a couple weeks, when the album comes out, I'm going to do an episode of each song. And I will tell you, it's going to be a lot of fun. So saying that, I am going to talk about my experience of what it was like being at the power station, you know, seeing John, seeing my Bon Jovi friends, and just kind of talk about some of that. Well, it's, you know, all it just happened. So what the Pizza Pie Jury is that back in the 80s, for people that don't know, back in the 80s, you know, the band would be recording like Slippery and stuff, and they'd have all these demos. And, you know, as people know, Slippery was like the make it or break it album, so it had to be just right. So what they would do was they'd go to a pizza joint in, you know, Vancouver or New Jersey, and they'd play some of these demos to kids and to see what if they would like the songs or if they didn't. And, you know, an example is that, you know, John played Wad in the Streets and Never Say Goodbye and didn't really think those songs were going to be put on the album. Well, the fans loved those songs, and we got those songs on Slippery. So it was a great idea to kind of get an idea of what fans liked and didn't like. And so over the years, I really haven't done that since. And a lot of diehards like me and others were just begging for the band to do them again. And in 2016, they did that for This House Is Not For Sale, but they didn't have the band there. And it was a cool way for fans to get together and listen to the songs. But they did do some they played the album in its entirety at three different shows. But thankfully, with the Forever that's coming out in a couple weeks, they started the Pizza Pie Jury again. And not necessarily let fans pick what they wanted, but just giving the fans a chance to listen to the new album before it's out. So, you know, so they did one in London a few weeks ago. They did one in LA last week. They did one in New York City yesterday, which I will talk about. And then I think they got another one in London next week. And then who knows what's going to happen after that. But so how you entered and won was on Instagram. If you followed Bon Jovi, you could get you could join the Forever Thread message, which they would send everybody, you know, news or information through message. And obviously you couldn't reply to it or anything like that, but you'd get the message. And so you could, so they would put out, okay, LA listening party, or New York City listening party, you can sign up here. So you signed up and you just crossed your fingers. And so for example, for New York, I think Tuesday night, they put out that you could sign up for the listening party. So I signed up. And then Wednesday, I found out that I was one of the lucky ones that won. And then Thursday was the event. So it was all within a 48-hour time span. And so I was one of the 25 that got luckily chosen. And so made my way to New York City. And one of the greatest things about this event was that it was at the Power Station studio. And for anyone that doesn't know what the Power Station is, let's get rid. Most people that are watching this know what it is, but just in case, the Power Station holds a lot of Jovi history there. That's where John worked as a gopher, you know, the early 80s. He would watch and work for some of the biggest stars there and see some of the biggest songs get created there. And John would also record his own songs there. This is before Bon Jovi was formed. We're talking 1980 to 1983, and he would talk about, or he would record songs that, you know, we know as the Power Station Sessions, which was, you know, a bootleg with a lot of really cool songs on there. Don't Leave Me Tonight, More Than We Bargained For, Who Said It Would Last Forever, String in a Line, Open Your Heart, you know, the list goes on. But not only that, but also when the band formed, they, you know, they would record some stuff there throughout the years. That's where they signed their record deal back in 83. In 2016, that's where John renewed his contract with Island Records Mercury. So there's a lot of Jovi history there. So it was like the perfect place to do it. So anyway, so we get there, and there was about 25 total fans. And thankfully I was one of the lucky ones I got, that won. And it was so great to see everybody. Out of the 25 people, I think I knew 21 of them, 22. And I got to meet the other three that I didn't know and became friends with. So it was great to see everybody. Because, you know, we haven't really had any Bon Jovi events in the last couple of years because of everything. And so really there been no runaway trips. So I really haven't gotten to see a lot of my Bon Jovi friends, and it was great to see a lot of familiar faces that are absolute diehards that love this band. And so, you know, we spent some time just before we were allowed in, we just hung out and caught up and just chatted and just talked about the documentary, the new album, and just everything that's going on in the Bon Jovi land. So eventually we were allowed into the venue. We had to sign up or sign an agreement, you know. And then we went upstairs, and so they got pizza from Angelo's Pizzeria, which I think is like one of John's favorite pizza places in New York. And it was amazing. The pizza was great. Now, I don't want to eat too much because I don't want to get bloated and stuff. And I'm also on a strict diet right now. I'm trying to lose, you know, a couple pounds here and there. But I had to indulge, okay? So I got a couple slices of pizza, and then in the adjacent room was where the listening party was going to be. So, you know, I got a front row seat. You know, obviously I had to. Sat down. Some friends joined me. And it was a very small room. So, like, anyone had a good seat. You know, I think there's like three or four rows. And a lot of fans kind of pushed their chairs up to be all as close as they could to the front. And had our pizza. They had some Bon Jovi songs, like the hit songs playing. They had a Forever... they had like a PowerPoint thing where they had, you know, Forever on a screen, the album cover, and then they just played like the hits while everyone had their pizza and kind of got settled in, you know. And eventually, after everyone ate their pizza, now keep in mind John's not here yet, and I'll get to that point where he is. So the staff of the power station, Island Records, you know, and Rob was there. You know, everyone knows Rob, okay? So the label came in, and we had to put our phones in like this case where you lock the case and you can't get it out until you get like a magnet. So respectively, rightfully so, we had to put our phones away. So, you know, obviously nobody recorded and put it out there. And I'm so thankful that they did that, because it gave me a chance to not worry about my phone, not worry about anything. And they started to play the album. Now, like I said earlier, I'm not going to talk about the album. I have so much to say. In a couple weeks when the album comes out, I'm going to talk about the songs. I will say one thing. I think everyone is going to love this album. It is truly probably one of the best Bon Jovi albums post 2000. I would say it's like Crush Me to Have a Nice Day. That's how good it is. It's a really good album. It's a very rock and roll, in-your-face album. John sounds great vocally, and that's all I'm going to say. I loved it from start to finish. But we got to sit there, and, you know, the lyrics would come up, and so a lot of us, you know, like when they play Legendary or Living Proof, obviously we all know that those songs because they're out as singles. And so the sound system was really loud. And so all of us just kind of all sat there singing along like we were at a concert, and we're just so happy. And so we sang those songs. And I'll tell you this, Living Proof sounds so much better when you have it on a good sound system and it's loud. It's great. That's all I'm going to say about the album. So after the album, it was like that. Everyone was just so happy. There was a lot of emotions. Everyone was really happy, and I joked with a couple of the girls at the power station. I said, can we just listen to it again, please? And I wanted to. It was so good. And then so it was no secret that we all know that John was going to be coming, maybe the band, you know, because they were at the London, the whole band was at London, John was just at the LA, and then so we didn't know who was going to be coming. So we all were waiting. It was a few minutes and we're like, is he gonna come and stuff? And then so like the record label was getting our phones out of the cases so we could have our phones. And then what do you know? You see Matt Bon Jovi coming, you see him at the door, opens the door, there's Matt, and then guess what? There's the man himself, John Bon Jovi. And Jake and Romeo, which are John's sons, they were there. And so Jake, Romeo and Matt kind of hung out in the back while John came out in the front. And like I said, this room was so small, so like really you could just put your hand out and John was right there. That's how intimate it was. It was awesome. And so, you know, John was really excited to be there. You know, I've been to over 70 Bon Jovi events. Not that that matters. That doesn't matter. But just to kind of prove a point here, this is probably one of the best. It is the besides the cruise, this is probably the best Bon Jovi event I've ever done. And John was so happy. He was so proud. He was really excited to be there. You could tell that he was just really happy. And so he kind of just talked. You know, he did a Q&A. He asked about how everybody loved the album. Every single person in that room loved the album. And so we talked a little bit. They talked about he talked about the album a little bit. And then he did a Q&A. And he just went around the room and he would pick people, and he made sure he got everybody. Now, of course, I had to ask a question. I actually asked two questions, and I'll go over that. So as maybe the fourth person that asked a question, I raised my hand. And I want to share this experience because it's so special to me as a fan. And before I do, I want everyone to know that I'm not bragging here. I'm just sharing my excitement because it is truly amazing when your role model, your hero, your favorite musician acknowledges you and actually knows your name. It's just amazing. So I want to say that I'm not trying to brag. I'm not better than anybody else or anything like that. You know, it was just an amazing experience. So what happened was I raised my hand and I started to ask my question, which I'll say here in a second. And as I was asking my question, John, quote unquote, interrupted. And interrupt is not the right word. And I'm glad he did. And he says, wait, are you Jerry? And I go, yeah, I'm Jerry. You know, and my heart's like pounding in my chest. I was like, is this a good thing or, you know. And he walked forward. And like I said, I was in the front row. And for anybody that hasn't seen, I've posted the video. I've posted the photos on my Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And he shook out his hand. And I shook his hand. I should have stood up. But I shook his hand back. As I said, I should have stood up and shook his hand. But I sat there and like disbelieved like this was happening. Shook his hand. And, you know, he said, you know, very softly, you know, thank you for everything that you've done, brother. Or something along the lines of that. And then he let me ask my question. And so, like I said, I was like in disbelief. And then I moved on to the question and stuff. Just, you know, it was just such a happy moment that he knew who I was, you know, I think through social media and stuff. But so anyway, so my question was, working with Ed, so Ed Sheeran, and this isn't a secret, it's all over Google and Joe Vland, so I'm not spoiling anything. Ed Sheeran co-wrote Living in Paradise with John. And Ed Sheeran, I'm not a fan of many artists nowadays, but like my wife and I, we both love Ed Sheeran. So like, it was like, we're like really excited about this song. And so I asked him how it was to work with Ed Sheeran. And he just said he admired Ed Sheeran so much and that it was really good working on a song together. Some of the songs about, you know, him and John and Dorothea, and then also Ed put in his little input on stuff. I don't want to ruin the song, so I'm not going to talk about the song yet. And then I asked him what his favorite Ed Sheeran song was, and he said that on Spotify, which I'm surprised John listens to Spotify. Yeah, so he said that Ed Sheeran was listed as number one listening artist, and so he doesn't know what songs are up there. But I know in another interview that he did say like Tides was probably one of his favorites. So, and Tides is actually one of my favorites too. So good taste. And then so he went to the next fan. And, you know, a lot of fans just asked a lot of really good questions. You know, he talked about Kelly Clarkson, how he's going to be on Kelly Clarkson. And I'm not going to spoil anything. You know, he kind of went in depth about that. Because that's coming out next week, so I don't think I should spoil anything there. He did talk about the box set. I know a lot of us diehards have been asking, you know, what's going on with the box set. He says that's kind of taken a back burner just because of the new album, the documentary, everything that's going on. But they do want to put something out maybe next year. They don't know if it's going to be something that's going to be a physical media release. The label kind of wants to just stream it. So obviously, diehards like us, you know, we want a physical box set like the 2004 one that we got. Trying to think what other questions that he got asked. He's not doing American Idol. I know that rumor was circulating. He's not doing American Idol. He has no interest in doing a biopic for the band. He doesn't want to do a Broadway play with the music, stuff like that. You know, a lot of good questions. You know, it was just a really, you know, it was about maybe like a half hour Q&A. And then he's like, does anybody else have questions? And he was circling, no one was raising their hand. He's like, you know what? I have a book of questions. So I picked out one of my questions from my book of questions. And I said, you know, since we're at the power station, I asked him about, I said, I know that there's a late 90s bootleg of the Power Station Sessions, which was pretty unfair to do. Whoever released, I don't know what label or company released those demos, but it wasn't fair to John because it was never an official release, and I think we should have gotten it as an official release. So in a way, I did kind of feel bad for asking that question just because I'm sure John doesn't appreciate that there's a bootleg out there, you know, that made money off of his demos. So I do apologize for that. But, you know, since we were at the power station, I still wanted to ask this question. And so I asked, what is some of your favorite demos from that era? And, you know, it was such out of the blue question that he really didn't remember a lot of those songs. And I joked, I said, you know, I can name you the whole track listen right now. And then John said that there was a lot of songs that didn't make that bootleg. And so hopefully we get to hear some of those songs one day. But so I did ask him what his favorite one was. And he said one that came to mind was Don't Leave Me Tonight. And I forget the artist's name, but he said somebody took that song and they recorded it and it was like really good. And then the song took a back burner and they never put it out. But John was really excited about that. Yeah, and then I told him, you know, a couple of my favorites was, you know, Don't Leave Me Tonight, or who said it would last forever. And then, you know, he said, thank you. And then I think one other person asked another question, and I forget the question, but they're all good, all good. And then he said, you know, let's take some photos. And so the funny part was, so we were all expecting that they were going to do what they did in L.A., which were Polaroids. And so they would take a Polaroid photo, and then John would sign it. And so we were all kind of expecting that. And like I said, these are all new, so you don't know what to expect, which I think is what is so great about it. So Rob, who everyone knows, you know, takes care of the band. He takes care of the fans and stuff like that. And he also photographs, you know, runaway trips and, you know, concerts and stuff. And so he didn't have his camera either. So we all, at the end of the day, we all said, you know what, let's just all use our phones. So it was very informal. I want to back up. So John shared some of his memories of the power station. So he talked about actually, and where I was sitting, John said right in that spot was where he sang R2-D2, which is the very first song that he got paid to sing on a Star Wars album. R2-D2, that's the exact spot where he recorded it. He talked about the room that was right outside of the studio that we were in was where he signed the contract for the band in 83. Upstairs above us was where he renewed his contract, and this house is not for sale. And then he talked about how he sang in that room for a lot of his Power Station demos. So that was really cool. And then he joked, and I think my friend Karen Hoffery, she posted some photos on her Facebook of John doing this. So John was talking about how he'd worked for Seen Under Pressure being recorded, you know, by, I think, Freddie Mercury and David Bowie. And John was a gopher at the time, and he at the door that comes into the room is a very solid door. You only have like a square window to look through, not very big. And John, you know, for people that are watching on YouTube, you'll be able to see it. For people that aren't watching, I'll explain it to you. His jaw just dropped open. So he replicated the experience. He went to the door, shut the door, put his face up to the window, and then dropped his face like this. You know, just jaw wide open and stuff. And so he like couldn't believe he was seen under pressure being recorded. And I think for like fans like us, like, can you imagine like seeing Runaway recorded there, or the demos, or This House Is Not For Sale? So he shared so many stories about being at the power station. So all right, so now we get to the photo op, and so it was very informal. You know, there was like everyone kind of lined up, and you know, everyone was just kind of hanging out, having a good time. No one was pushy, no one was in a rush, everyone was really respectful. And while everybody was meeting John, I said, you know, I'm gonna go say hi to Matt, John's brother, security guard in charge of Bon Jovi management, just the nicest guy. So I went over and talked with him for a little bit. Some other fans joined. We all just kind of talked about some this and that stuff. And Matt's always been so good to the fans. And so it was good to chat with him for a little bit. And then the line started to herd out from John. And, you know, right, I didn't want to miss getting a photo with John. So I went up and talked to John for a couple minutes. And he was just so nice. And I just said, thank you for letting us listen to the new music. I really love it. And then he also, you know, again, you know, said, he told me, thank you, Jerry, for all of your support and for everything that you do for, you know, for the band and stuff. And so that meant the world to me. And then we took a photo, and then I didn't bring anything to get signed because I thought he was going to sign like a Polaroid. But for people that are on YouTube, I got a piece of paper from the power station. And John wrote to Jerry, thanks always, with his signature. And then he wrote Power Station May 24. So I got to get this framed soon. So and then we took a photo, and then a couple other fans got a photos. And then he just said thank you to everybody. He was taking Jake and Romeo out to lunch. And so he thanked everybody and left. And the whole, you know, the listen of the album was about maybe 45 minutes, and then the rest of it was maybe an hour or so with John there, half hour Q&A, half hour photo opportunity. And so, and then the other fans and I, we all just kind of hung out and just shared our photos with each other and our experience and how much we love the album and stuff. And everybody in that room was just so happy. And the power station, the record label, let us stay for about half hour, 45 minutes, and they let us like tour the power station, the floor that we were on. And it was so cool to see, because Bon Jovi history, guys. And then, you know, we were respectful. We said, okay, let's go. You know, we got our photos, we got to experience it. Let's get out here so they can, you know, continue on with their day. But I hung out with my Bon Jovi friends for a while and walked around and just really just caught up with them and just shared our happiness, our excitement. And my friend Diana, if she's watching this, thank you for teaching me how to do the airdrop on iPhones. So, but overall, it was such a great opportunity for me and other fans to really get to hear the album 2 weeks before it comes out. And like I said, I think everyone's going to love it. I did. I can't wait for it to come out. I think some of my favorite songs that are on it are Waves, Kiss the Bride, I Want to Write You a Song. Those are my three favorites, I think. You know, and obviously that could change when the album comes out. So, like I said, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to put out an episode of me and my guest. We're going to talk about the album from start to finish. And buckle up, because I got a lot of stuff to say, a lot of excitement. So as always, I want to say thank you for everyone that's, you know, supported this podcast. It's amazing people take the time to watch these episodes. And that's another reason I wanted to post this episode, just to kind of give people who unfortunately get the chance to go to one of these, just kind of give them an idea of what it was like and stuff. And I want to thank everybody online, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, for just being so happy for me, being so happy for others who got this experience. I know there's so many diehards that deserved and wanted to go. Unfortunately, it's such an intimate thing that you can't bring everybody. So I wanted to say thank you for everyone that took the time to share their love, their congratulations for me and for the other fans. It was really nice that everyone was really happy for each other. So I'm going to get off here. I just want to say thank you and see you guys on the next episode.